Marriage Line. A series based on the mutual love and mistrust of two newlyweds, with Richard Briers as George Starling and Prunella Scales as his wife, Kate.
When you begin your married life in a furnished flat like we did, well, you start off by looking on it as a temporary measure, don't you? Just something you put up with till something better comes along. I'm talking about the flat, of course, not the marriage. But then you sort of get used to the old place. The green and orange wallpaper doesn't make you feel sick anymore. And you can sleep through the gurgles from the system. And you even stop talking about the criminal profit the landlord's making. But on the other hand, your lady wife is still looking forward to getting away. And it only takes something like some friends of yours making the move to put that famous old gypsy in her soul. Now, there'd been some rather sinister rumblings in that direction when Peter, from next door, announced he was going to have an interview about promotion. And Kate called on Peter's wife to find out how he got on.
Have you heard anything, Nora?
No, he hasn't rung. And I don't like to ring him.
Oh, well, no news is good news.
Whatever that means. Well, come in for a minute.
Thank you. When would he hear about the rise if he got it?
Well, I don't know. This morning, I thought. Well, it's sweet of you to worry, darling, but I told you it's a very slim chance, didn't I? I mean, we're both prepared for him not to get it. That's why I can't understand him not ringing. I just hope he's not drinking somewhere and getting maudlin. Oh, well, good heavens, it's the job only carries an extra 100 a year. What's that? I mean, £2 a week. What would an extra £2 a week mean? Yes, it would, wouldn't it? Do you mind if I sit down?
Well, this is one worry I'll never have with George.
What?
Waiting to hear if he's got promotion or not.
Oh, don't be silly.
No, he's just not a pusher, poor darling.
Well, you do all right, don't you? I mean, that's a nice new outfit you're wearing.
New? This hem's been raised and lowered more times than the Union Jack.
No, really?
Well, I'm glad it doesn't show. I've just been out to tea with an old school friend. They've got the most beautiful house. Everything's so modern. And they've got a garden and all the furniture's hers. I couldn't help thinking that all George and I own is a bed.
Well, that's nice to fall back on, darling.
Oh, hello, Peter. How did you get on?
I failed, of course. That's why I bought this bottle of champagne.
Many congratulations, Peter.
Ah, thank you, Kate.
Oh, isn't he wonderful? I knew you'd get it, darling. Didn't I tell you? Why didn't you ring me?
Well, it kept me in suspense till 4:30, that's why. Then, when the old man gave me good news, he produced a bottle, and then I booked a table at the Cocotte, and I got seats for the theatre tonight. And...
tonight?
Yes, you better step on it, darling.
Oh, yes, darling, Kate. Will you excuse me?
Oh, good heavens, yes. I must be getting back. George will wonder where I am. I'm so glad, Peter.
Well, if the right people are getting recognized at last, perhaps George will bring a bottle of champagne home.
Perhaps. Have a nice evening.
We'll try. Goodbye, Kate.
Ah, there you are.
Oh, sorry, darling. I thought you might be home.
Well, only just. I stopped off at the off-license and invested in a bottle.
Champagne?
Champagne? Are you kidding? No, a half bottle of Spanish hooch. It's their bargain of the week.
Oh, that's lovely, darling.
Little celebration.
George, what's happened?
It was in my horoscope this morning. Financial surprise.
Not promotion.
Promotion? Good heavens, darling, give me a chance. I haven't been there for 100 years yet. No, I've got 3 lemons on the fruit machines. Look, lovely. 34 and 6 dropped into my hot little hands. Look at that. Isn't it lovely? Look. Oh, lovely. I'll be walking with a distinct list ever since I won it. Mind you, I must be honest, it's not all profit. I had to spend 7 bob to get it. But I had a feeling. Isn't it funny? You get that old feeling? I just knew I was going to make a killing.
Where's this fruit machine?
Oh, in a little club Ronnie Forrest took me to. He was celebrating, too. The building society have come up with that mortgage for the house he found in Barnes. He never expected to get it. Well, you know how they've tightened up on these things.
Well, lucky Ronnie.
Oh, darling, they deserve it. But with a baby, living in that tatty old place in South Kent. You know, when we went to dinner there and you said you didn't know how they stuck it, remember? We came back here and you said how lucky we were to have our own little nest. Oh, yeah, nothing like it, darling. Coming home after a hard day on the fruit machine. Anything wrong, darling?
What? No, no.
Who's that?
Like a top of our champers.
What?
Isn't it wonderful, George?
Sorry, Nora, what...
Well, didn't Kay tell you?
No, well, I've only just got home, you see. Not your rice, Peter.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, old man. Congratulations. Well, my word. We both had a bit of luck today. Yes. I got 3 lemons on the fruit machine.
Oh, well, you won't need our champagne then. You've probably got your own.
Oh, yes. Look, Spanish what? Well, it doesn't matter. It's the bargain of the week.
Have you got some glasses, Kate?
Oh, yes.
Shall we tell, Nora?
Oh, darling, it's early days yet.
No, I got a feeling. Do you know what I mean, George? You sometimes know things are going your way.
Well, I had it on the fruit machine. Isn't that funny?
Well, it was only a hint that the bus dropped, but my new position on the establishment could mean a transfer to our factory outside Edinburgh. Oh, we'd hate Eden, London, of course, and you too. Mm. But you get a house on the estate up there, bungalow type. Bit of a change from this old ruin, eh? Cheers.
What, cheers?
Cheers. And you two could come up and stay.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, darling?
Oh, yes.
So, I thought there was no harm in getting the expensive taste, just in case.
Knock it back, darling.
Ah, yes, we must rise.
Well, thanks so much, Peter. I'll do the same when I get my rise.
Oh, yes?
What do you mean?
If yours gives you a rise, we'll all be dead.
Yeah, that's it, from shock or if not old age.
Come on, darling.
Okay.
Have a good time.
Yes, we will.
Stoppers.
Bye-bye.
Well, what a day. A win on the fruit machine and a glass of champagne. Wonderful break for Peter.
Yes.
Mind you, I wouldn't want to go to Scotland, Miss Earle, would you? I mean, house or no house, I wouldn't want to leave here.
Wouldn't you?
What, darling?
Is this your dream of home?
Home?
Well, look around you, George.
Have you gone off the wallpaper again?
I've gone off the wallpaper and the curtains and the three-piece suite and... It's not a home, George. Nothing's mine.
Well, nothing's mine either.
Well, you don't have to spend as much time in it as I do.
I know, darling, but I told you I look forward all day to getting back.
Do you?
Yes, the bed's ours.
Yes, the bed's ours.
Darling, what's caused all this?
Nothing.
No, well, you didn't bother, I know, but, well, it's pretty obvious. Peter's promotion, isn't it?
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, I'm sorry, darling, you've got to face the fact that I'm a failure.
Of course you're not.
I am a failure. You've either got it or you haven't. And I haven't. I've been in the same job 5 years, and the only move I've made in any direction was 6 months ago when they put me in a smaller office.
George, I promise you...
Sorry, I know this isn't paradise, but we looked at 63 flats before we found it, and we leapt at it. Well, you were so happy you cried in front of the agent.
Yes, I know.
And Ronnie Forrest said how lucky we were, didn't he?
Yes, darling.
Well, then.
Yes, I'm sorry, George.
Oh, I know. Touch of the old manic depressives, eh? Anyway, as a matter of fact, I'm very glad you brought it up, darling. I mean, we only took this place as a stopgap, didn't we? It's high time we started looking for something a bit more like home.
How much more?
What?
Well, a better furnished flat will only cost more.
I'm not talking about another furnished.
Well, we can't afford unfurnished.
It's a lower rent.
And the earth for fixtures and fittings.
No, it needn't be, darling, needn't be. I mean, look, it's no use expecting a bargain from the agents and the evening papers. But if a friend of ours was moving out, well, they wouldn't look us, would they? They'd probably be jolly glad to think the old place was passing into good hands.
Oh, yes, all right, George, but who do we know who's moving?
Ronnie Forrest.
What?
Ronnie will be moving very soon, and his flat's unfurnished.
But you've just been calling it tatty.
I mean, it's a bit too small for three of them, but it's absolutely ideal for two.
Oh, nonsense. We both hated it.
Darling, it'll look quite different with our own things, isn't it?
What things?
What?
One bed.
Good Lord, you can pick up second-hand furniture for a song these days.
Who said?
Ronnie Forrest.
Yes, well, if Ronnie's furniture's what you get for a song, I'd rather go to a shop that took money.
Yeah, all right, bags of time for that. Look, your mother's got furniture in store, hasn't she? She's always threatening to give us.
Oh, heavens, I couldn't live with that ghastly heavy stuff. What are you doing?
I'm ringing Ronnie. Let's take our claim first.
George, I'm sorry. I didn't like the flat.
Look, it's much better than this.
How can you be such a turncoat?
Shh. Hello, Ronnie? George, listen, old man, just struck me. You'll be moving out fairly soon, won't you? Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't call it a hellhole. No. Okay, and I loved it when we came round. We loved it. Honestly, yeah, we'd just be talking about it. Well, what? Well, as soon as possible, we're absolutely sick of this dump. Now, it's 2 years lease, yeah, and what's the rent? Well, good heavens, that's fabulous. We're paying six here. And you'd be leaving some things behind, I suppose. Everything? Oh. Well, I mean, there wouldn't be much room for our things, would there? When did I say we only had a bed? Did I? Yes, well, how much would you want there? You wouldn't. You said you got it for a song. No, we liked it, Ronnie. Of course we did. It was just that... Oh, are you? Oh, yeah, well, I'll have a word with Kate. Okay, Ronnie, tomorrow night. Bye. He's going out. We'll have a talk tomorrow.
How much is he asking?
What?
For his rubbish.
Darling, it's not...
How much?
40 quid.
What?
But that's all, darling. After that, we'll be paying 4 guineas a week. 4 guineas.
£40.
Look, it's unfurnished, Kate. It's our first step to a home of our own.
How can it be a home of our own surrounded by Ronnie's rubbish?
It won't be Ronnie's rubbish if we'd paid for it. It'll be our rubbish. I mean...
That's...
Now, listen, Kate, you started this. I mean, you went off about the wallpaper. Now, the moment I start to organize a move...
We don't need to move. Not yet. If the curtains were cleaned and the walls had a lick of paint, it would mean we could stay here till we found a place we really liked.
Hmm. Yes, walls, curtains. Yes, darling, all right, all right. I mean, the walls and curtains are not our responsibility anyway, you know. It's old Cartwright, the mean old... I've a good mind to complain, but these walls are a disgrace.
Oh, yes, do complain, darling.
I will. I'll go and see him tomorrow morning.
Because if he did the walls, we'd only have to have the curtains cleaned.
Yeah, I'll speak to him very strongly. We're paying 6 guineas a week, you know. 6 guineas for a furnished pigsty. Well, it's not going on. We must have value for money.
I've never seen you like this before, George.
Well, I'm not... What?
So forceful. Oh, darling, you ought to do it more often. I'm sure you'd do better.
Do what more often, darling?
Well, be pushing. It doesn't mean being aggressive, just pushing. Having a bit more faith in yourself, taking the odd chance, not worrying about what other people might think.
Yes, well, I mean, I can be like that if it's necessary, you know.
Well, it's necessary tomorrow.
Yes.
I should decide beforehand what you're going to say to him.
Well, I will. I shall bounce straight into his office and I'll say, Mr. Cartwright, my name's Starling, George Starling. Mr. Cartwright?
Yes?
My name's Starling, George Starling. You may remember me. I'm a tenant of number 1A, 27 Aberdare Road. I've been there 3 months now, and frankly, Mr. Cartwright, the general condition of the flat's an absolute disgrace. The wallpaper's filthy.
Oh, just a minute. Your name's what?
Starling.
Oh.
George Starling, flat 1A, 27 Aberdare Road. And as I was just saying, I've been there 3 months now, and frankly, Mr. Cartwright, the general condition...
27 Aberdare, yes.
Yes, and frankly, Mr.
Flat 1A.
1A, yes, flat 1A. And frankly, Mr. Cartwright, it's a disgrace. The wallpaper's filthy, the curtains need to clean, the furniture doesn't match, and you expect 6 guineas a week. Well, look, the boom's gone out of your business now, you know. There are plenty of good flats to be had at reasonable prices, and if you want us to go on paying your price, you'll have to do something about it.
Well, of course I'll do something about it, Mr. Starling.
What? Oh, well, good, because, frankly...
I'll give you a fortnight's notice.
Good. What?
With effect from today.
Now listen, Mr. Cartwright. I mean, all I want is some decent wallpaper.
Oh, well, I dare say you'll find that in one of those good flats to be had at reasonable prices.
Now, Mr. Cartwright...
Mr. Starling, I could let your flat 10 times over every week of the year.
But it was just the wallpaper.
I could let it without wallpaper. Practically without walls. People are happy with just a roof these days.
Now, look, sir, couldn't we...
Miss Marsh?
Yes, Mr. Cartwright.
You let the agency know that number 1A, 27 Aberdare Road is to let...
Yes, Mr. Cartwright.
Perhaps I was a little...
Good afternoon, Mr. Starling.
You mean we've lost the flat?
Yes.
Our first home and you've thrown it away.
You hated it yesterday.
Oh, George.
Well, now you know. Well, I'm just not a pusher, I'm sorry. And you'll never turn me into one, Kate. I've got my niche. I'm the type who provides the pushing type for something to push. He who gets shoved around.
George, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
Well, I tried it, didn't I? I tried it. I did the pushing bit, just as you said, and what happened? I go in to complain about the walls, and 5 minutes later, I haven't got a wall to complain about.
Darling, you've got a good, steady job. That's infinitely preferable to these people who take risks and flit from one thing to another. We've got security and peace of mind and...
And nowhere to live.
Who are you ringing?
Cartwright. Try and get him to change his mind.
Oh, yes, darling.
Now, don't put on your proud face. I'm not going to be pushing or forceful. In actual fact, I'm reverting to type. I'm working up an appetite for an extra large helping of humble pie. Mr. Cartwright? Oh, good evening, sir. It's George Starling here, sir. Yeah, you were good enough to spare me some of your invaluable time this afternoon. If you could possibly spare me a few more seconds now, I'd be so... Oh, thank you very much. That's most generous. Well, the whole thing was rather a misunderstanding, you see, because you were obviously unaware of how fond my wife and I are of this flat. Well, we've lived here our whole married life. It's the only home we know. Well... put it bluntly, we'd like to go on living here, and perhaps one day our children may be... No children, no, I know. Yes, that's right, yes. But I beg your pardon, sir? Yes, yes, I will, sir. Yes, thank you so much. Yes. He's going to check that it hasn't been let. Push.
You can't beat a bit of crafty crawling in this world.
Done, darling.
Hello, sir. Hello. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Oh, I see. No, that's very fair, sir. Very fair. Goodbye, Mr. Cartwright.
George, what's the matter?
He's put an extra guinea on the rent. He's what you call a pusher, isn't he? £40. That's all we need. £40. Then we could move right straight into Ronnie's flat next week and suck Spooder Cartwright and his 7 guineas. Look, surely we can borrow it.
Well, who do we know with £40 to lend?
Who do we know with £40? Look, we've got a lot of friends. A lot of them. Look, £1 here, £2 there. They'll soon mount up. I'll ring old Ozzy first. He's got a kind face, hasn't he? Darling, I'm sure you'll like Ronnie's flat when we get there. It's lovely. And it's nice and high, you know. I'm sure it's healthier than up here. I mean, I'll start my deep breathing exercises again and we could put out a bird tray. Ozzy? Ozzy? George? Yeah, look, are you flush at the moment? Well, with money, what do you think? Well, I'd like to borrow a couple, but one would do. Pounds, not shillings. Okay, thanks, Ozzy. He's not flush. Well, I got the message, didn't you, when he thought I was after a florin?
No.
What?
I think it was the way you said it put him off.
Said what?
Well, jumped in and asked him for the money.
Well, what was I supposed to have asked him for?
Well, you could ask him how he was first. And therefore, people don't like being used, George, even people with kind faces.
Oh, but you think I was a bit curt, do you?
Yes, I do a bit.
What, a bit more, smarmy, you think?
Well, not smarmy.
No, but I know. What's the word? Solicitous. That's it, solicitous. Yeah, I'm sure you're right, darling. What would I do without you?
Who are you ringing?
Brian.
Well, ask after Jennifer.
You're all right, I know how to be solicitous, darling. Brian?
George.
How are you, Brian? Oh, lovely. Just what I was thinking, long time no see. And how's Jennifer?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Oh, what? Rotten luck. Yeah. No, wait. Well, you wouldn't. Well, I wouldn't. Oh, dear. Well, do give her our cup. Goodbye, Brian.
Ask after Jennifer.
Is she ill again?
She's got the lot. And he itemized every symptom.
You never mentioned the money.
Well, how could I with Jennifer lying flat on her bed of pain? It's costing him nearly 30 bob a week in grapes alone.
All right, well, you better try someone else, hadn't you?
Well, what about you try?
Well, don't be silly, George. I've only got girlfriends.
Well, they've got handbags, haven't they?
I'm not running begging to any of my friends. What would they think of you?
Me?
Well, so poor you had to send me out begging.
Darling, I'm not asking you to go on the streets with a tin cup. All right. What about David?
He's getting married.
Miles?
He's not getting married. That's even more expensive.
Darling?
Yes?
I was just thinking of your mother.
How thoughtful of you, George.
Well, she's got a bit tucked away, hasn't she?
Yes, and she's also got something else, George. A tremendous faith in you. She sees you as a potential millionaire. I'm sorry, but I'd much rather she didn't know the truth.
The truth?
Yes. If I told her the truth in the first place, she'd never have let me marry you.
How do you mean?
Well, darling, I didn't want to hurt you. You know it doesn't make any difference to me, but Mum wasn't at all impressed with you at first.
Wasn't she?
Well, of course she wasn't.
What do you mean, of course?
Well, she'd visualize my husband as some sort of handsome debonair tycoon. I expect you'd clothe me from head to foot in mink and diamonds.
Did she?
Well, yes, darling, all mothers are like that. Hey, why don't you ask your father to lend you the money?
Now, I already owe him some.
Well, there you are. He knows the truth. It wouldn't worry him like it would my mother.
Oh, blimey, look, I wish you wouldn't keep talking about the truth. I mean, anybody think I had a criminal past or something? I think it's jolly ungrateful of you. My father generously lent us some money when we got married. Your mother hasn't coughed up at all.
Well, she paid for the reception.
Well, that couldn't have cost her much. The champagne ran out after an hour.
There was plenty of sherry.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I reckon your mother owes me some money to make up for all the friends that sherry lost me.
Well, I'm not going to ask her, George, so don't ask me again. And anyway, as we've had a continuous row ever since we heard about the new place, I think we'd be much better off if we stayed here.
Seven guineas a week? Thank you very much. Oh, okay, I'll ring old Dad. Ask him to meet me for a drink. Heaven knows how he'll take it.
I'm a commercial traveler. you expecting somebody?
Huh?
Well, you keep looking at the door.
Oh, yes, yes. My son, George, actually. Rang me last night and said he'd like to buy me a drink.
Hello. Sounds ugly.
Don't speak your own.
Oh, I do, I'm afraid. Paul never rings me at all, unless he's on the touch. He offered me a drink as well. I think I'd go sick.
Well, I'm not going to deny that George did come to me once, just before he got married, actually. Well, it's understandable, isn't it? It's expensive business, preparing to put your roots down with a woman. But he promised to pay me back just as soon as he could. And last night he came through again and said, Dad, would you care to have a drink with me? And I said I'd love to, but this is a fairly busy time for it. And he said, well, he hoped I could make it because it was a matter of finance.
So you jolly well made time.
Rather.
Well, I must say, he's a credit to you, your boy.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Yeah. Yes, I think I have the right to feel a little proud, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Proud and, well, I'm not ashamed to admit it, rather moved.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, it's a sort of reward, really, isn't it? A confirmation of all those years one spent dinning the true values of life into the lad. They weren't wasted. Here he is now. George, over here. Fine lad, isn't he?
Yes, well, I'll leave you to him. He won't want to hand over in front of me.
Oh, very thoughtful of you, Frank.
Hello, Dad.
Oh, George, you don't know Frank Armitage, do you?
No.
Ah, how do you do?
Oh, fine, thanks. Would you care for a drink?
Oh, no, I'm just off. Thanks very much.
Oh, what a shame.
Cheerio, Lennis. Congratulations.
No, thank you, Frank. Goodbye.
Congratulations?
Huh?
On what?
Nothing. You going to have a drink?
Well, that's very kind of you, Dad.
No, sorry, you were ordering, weren't you? I'll have the same again.
Tomato juice?
Yes, didn't you know? I never indulge at lunchtime.
Tomato juice, please.
You didn't believe me, did you? I'll have a vodka in it.
Tomato juice and vodka, please. And I'll have half a bitter, ordinary. Well, you really are celebrating, aren't you, Dad? Bloody Mary's at lunchtime. What's happened? Have you won something?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. I suppose you might say that I've scored a small victory.
Any money in it?
It has to do with finance, yes.
Well, that's splendid, Dad. It couldn't have come at a better time because I was hoping you might see your way to lending me 40 quid. Dad, what's the matter, Dad? Dad, are you all right, Dad? Dad?
Understand it, Dad. Oh, George, you probably...
No, I didn't. I led the conversation round to money terribly carefully. Well, he virtually steered it himself, and then I just dropped it in. And he immediately went all peculiar. Honestly, I thought he was going to cry for a moment. Then he muttered about the money he'd already lent me and said he refused to throw good after bad, and I got a bit shirty and said we wanted the money for a new place where we could breathe some clean air and have a bird tray, and he said, well, you'll get the money from someone else then. Get it from someone else, he said. So I said, right, and I stamped straight out. It wasn't until I got back to the office I remembered I'd left him to pay for the drinks. I shouldn't think that went down too well. Look, is this what you told me to look for?
What?
Your mother's wedding present. Was it this vase?
Yes, where did you find it?
Bottom of the dirty clothes basket.
Put it on the mantelpiece so that she'll see it the moment she comes in. And then, can you give me a hand to the table? She'll be here in a minute. Now then, you will back me up on everything I say to Mum, won't you? We'll have to lead up to it terribly carefully. If she thinks we want to borrow money because you're broke, she'll come over even more peculiar than your father. But we've got to emphasize how well you're doing. But all your money is tied up in building societies and insurances and unit trusts and things. And we need the new flat for entertaining overseas customers.
You are a good liar, aren't you?
Thank you, darling.
Oh.
Now, there she is. Now, don't make any mistakes, George.
Don't worry, I've got my Charles Claw face on.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, Catherine. It was nice of you to ask me tonight. I do appreciate. I've been feeling a bit depressed, so I'm relying on you to cheer me up. Hello, George.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bradwell.
Oh, not Mrs. Bradwell, George. Not now you're one of the family.
Oh, no, well, we never did settle it, did we? What would you like me to call you?
Well, that's up to you, dear, isn't it? What would you like to call me?
Well...
Take my mother's coat, darling.
Well, I don't know so much. Have you got rid of all those terrible drafts?
Oh, Mum.
No, I'm serious, dear. I wish you could find somewhere else to live. I really do.
Well, we have, actually. You must be psychic, Mum.
Have you really? Oh, I am glad. Unfurnished.
Yes, very nice.
It's suitable for overseas visitors.
What, dear?
Well, George needs somewhere to entertain, you see.
Well, of course he does. Catherine's told me how well you're doing, George. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mrs.
The youngest promotion in the history of the firm. That's wonderful.
What?
I must say, when you move, I sincerely hope you won't take that vase on the mantelpiece with you.
What?
Why?
Well, I think it's an eyesore, don't you? In fact, I'd have said that the ideal ornament for this position is the piece I gave you for your wedding.
But we thought that wasn't...
Oh, yes, well, it seemed to show the place up somehow, Mum. We tried it there, but the room looked even drabber, you know, in contrast. It'll suit our new flat splendidly.
Ah, yes, well, now, tell me about that. What is it, where is it, how much is it? If you don't mind me being inquisitive. I mean, it's your money, not mine.
Yes, Mum. Well, we talk about that over dinner, Mum.
Yeah, well, all the biggest deals happen, eh?
Deals?
Give my mother a drink, George.
Oh, yes, what would you like, Mrs. What did you ask me to call you? Oh, excuse me.
Oh, hello, my boy. Look, I've been having second thoughts on this. Oh, Mrs. B. This is a surprise.
Catherine, I thought it was to be just me. I didn't realize it was a party.
No, it isn't.
Well, George, don't I get a drink, seeing that I've decided to lend you the money?
What money?
Oh, well, look, thanks, Dad. Look, come into the bedroom.
No.
What money?
£40 towards our new flat.
40?
You see, Mummy.
Yeah, I turned the boy down this morning when he asked me, and then I suddenly thought back to me at that age, permanently broke, in debt up to here, no prospects, and I had a change of heart. Now then, shall I make the check out to cash? Presumably you don't want it to go through your bank. You've got an overdraft, haven't you?
Dad.
I've never been so upset. Never.
I'm sorry, Mum, but George is doing well, honestly. It's just that they don't pay him what he's worth.
I don't care about that. The fact is, you needed help and you didn't come to me. Didn't I always tell you if there was ever anything I could do?
Oh, well, we were going to tell you, Mum, at dinner, weren't we, George?
What? Good heavens, yes, yes. I mean, that's why we asked you. instead of over the phone.
You wanted the furniture I've got in store.
What? Well,
Yes, that's right, Mum. Well, we were hoping, you know, that you would suggest it.
She's always had an eye on my pieces, Mr. Starling. Mm. Good, solid furniture, not this modern matchwood stuff.
Well, you are a lucky pair, I must say. A check to get you in, something to sit on once you are in. What else?
Well, there is something else to my mind, Mr. Starling. You and I have never really had a chance to get to know each other. Somehow I feel that the need of our children and our joint efforts to answer that need of... Well, brought us closer together.
Yes, yes, you're right, Mrs. Bradwell, yes.
Oh, please, Mr. Starling, do call me Helen.
Oh, Helen, yes, splendid Helen, yes. Well, I'm Dennis, actually.
Oh, really? Leave her one in, or two.
Hold the one, that's one.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I thought for a minute we weren't going to get anything out of either of them.
Now they're like a pair of lovebirds. The best thing that could possibly have happened, George.
I'm making only one condition. If they do have my pieces, I'm going to make sure they don't take this hideous thing on the mantelpiece.
My wife and I gave that vase to them, as a matter of fact. As a wedding present.
Well, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's the exact duplicate of a piece we have in our own home, and of which I am inordinately proud.
Look, Dad.
Well, she called it hideous.
Mr. Starling, I can't apologize for my opinion.
Yes, Mum.
If you won't let me make an apology.
I don't even notice your wedding present, Mrs. Bradwell.
Yes, Dad. Yes, Dad.
Mum.
That episode of Marriage Lines were Richard Bryce and Prunella Scales as George and Kate Starling. Their neighbors Nora and Peter were played by Heather Chasen and Jeffrey Matthews, George's father by Jeffrey Sumner, and Kate's mother by Joan Sanderson. Wallace Eaton played Mr. Cartwright and Mr. Starling's friend. Marriage Lines was written by Richard Waring and produced by Charles Maxwell.